Hi everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
And this is another remakes episode. And once again, the remake is worse than the original. It's 2007's A Death at a Funeral and 2010's A Death at a Funeral.
Yeah, Death at a Funeral. It's so weird. So I had seen these. This is probably the only set of remakes that I, when I watched them the first time around, I think I watched them back to back. It's like word for word, some of it. They just like gave them the same script, but weird directions, I feel like.
Yeah, so starting off, obviously spoilers, the original is better in so many ways.
Did you like the original?
Yeah, the original is a good movie.
Yeah.
The remake is just, let's Americanize the original.
It's really annoying because they don't Americanize it enough. Because if they just, like, took the situation and made it with an American family, it might have worked. But instead, like, they have word for word some of the same lines of dialogue and, like, almost shot for shot some parts of the movie.
The shot for shot stuff and the stuff that was just the cinematography and the direction is worse in the remake. Mm. And most people would agree the 2010 one has better actors in it.
It's definitely got much more well-known actors.
Yeah.
Even to the point that, because Peter Dinklage appears in both movies as the same character.
Peter Frank.
Peter in one and Frank in the other. But it's the same archetype, you know, his character plays the same role. But he wasn't known in 2007.
Yeah.
I think, when did Game of Thrones start? Had it started by the time the American remake came out?
I'm sure it did.
I feel like it had.
No, Game of Thrones was 2011.
Oh, 2011. Okay, so he was... All right, fair enough. So he was still relatively an unknown then.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, certainly... I mean, it's not that he hadn't been in things. I've seen a lot of movies he'd been in then.
What was the movie we watched, I would say recently, but that's probably not accurate with the amount of movies we watch and how much time is... We're almost at the end of the year already.
Mm-hmm.
What was the movie that we watched with him in it? Where he's like in the car... It's his car.
Oh, Penelope. Like
Penelope.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love that. When was that? That might have been late 2000s as well. That could have been, I don't remember. That might have been early 2010s. But certainly when he did the first Death at a Funeral, he was not well known by any manner of means. Now, I think some of the movies he'd made before then were great. Like The Station Agent, I think, is before then. And
I don't think I've seen that.
That's fun. I believe, if I'm remembering the movie correctly, he plays a character named Finbar, which is funny to me, because my brother's name is Finbar.
Yeah.
And it's a very Irish name, specific to one area of Ireland, almost, that, like, people outside of Ireland don't know, so I found it very funny that I watched a Peter Dinklage movie where his name is Finbar. I think that was in The Station Agent, which is a weird... Is it just kind of like a... It's more of a solemn movie, but it's just, like, a really... odd cast of characters, and I think that's the kind of role he was getting just as a dwarf actor, I guess.
Yeah.
But he also was clearly putting himself out there for whatever roles, because I'll jump into the trivia immediately. the role of Peter in the original Death at a Funeral in the script was written as an average height man.
Yeah.
And Peter Dinklage showed up on audition and killed it at the audition, and they rewrote the script to incorporate the fact that he was a dwarf. And then obviously his role in the movie was so pivotal that they literally cast him again in the remake. So he was certainly out there making a name for himself as much as he could. And then Game of Thrones happened, and he's now a household name.
He was February in that character. In the calendar, sorry.
What?
He was February in the Game of Thrones character.
Oh.
The calendar. keep saying
you character. You said king character. It's very confusing. Right, because it's the shortest month.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's, okay.
Let's get into the movie.
Yeah.
Because there's only one movie here. Because basically the entire, like, I could say a scene and the same movie happens in the, literally the, it might as well have just, it just,
there's like, I feel like there was like one bit that was different. Oh, it was, though we'd have to get into like a whole thing together. That's,
yeah.
It's something that James Marsden did in the remake, was only in the remake. And I was like, finally,
something different,
novel.
So, let's go over the characters. We have the older brother, who has been living with his mum and his dad has passed away, and he's got a wife, or a girlfriend, and they want to move out.
Yeah, and in one, there's a subplot where, in the remake, there's a subplot where they're trying to get pregnant as well.
Yeah, which I just think they just put in there for haha moments and not actual pivotal the plot.
Yeah.
We have the older brother, who's a successful writer and a huge douchebag.
Yeah, and potentially pedophile.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the...
Ephebophile?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's to sound more like a pedophile, you explain the fact that there is different types.
Yeah.
So
technically speaking, pedophilia is attraction to prepubescent.
Yeah.
Ephebophilia is attraction to people who are like adolescent. Yeah. So teenagers who are going through or have just gone through puberty.
Yeah.
And this guy, in the remake, one of his lines is, 18 is my favorite number. So that should tell you enough about what the character's supposed to be like.
You have the mum who's very emotionally distraught because obviously her husband has died.
Yeah.
And the father to her children.
And she's, in both cases, definitely, there is favoritism. And she prefers the more successful child.
Yeah,
over the one who's been living with her and looking after her and looking after her husband and paying their bills.
You've got, I don't even know how the family tree in this thing works.
There's cousins.
There's cousins, but there's also like the mother's brother's family.
Mm.
So they are cousins, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's cousins from both sides.
Yeah.
And the cousins from
friends
either,
as well.
Yeah.
So, the oldest brother's two friends end up, one of them is obsessed with his cousin, who's married, or marrying.
Yeah, engaged to.
Engaged to the, the
I was
going to
say the comic relief, but it's their comedy, so there's relief in the kind of comedy.
So James Marsden and Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk is just perfection.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, of all the characters in the remake, all the actors in the remake, I think James Marsden does the best job, but he also has the most to live up to, maybe.
Yeah.
Because Alan Tudyk is so good.
It's so bizarre, too, because, like, as we both mentioned earlier, the remake cast, the 2010s cast, is insane.
Hmm.
Like, Both movies have ex-Firefly cast members in it, with the remake having Ron Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Davis plays the Reverend. Like, there is some strong background. Well, Chris Rock, Martin Lawrence, like...
Kevin Hart is... It's like a cameo.
Yeah. And it's just, like, it's
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah. And it's just so disappointing.
Regina Hall? Is that the actress who plays the wife? It's just like a huge cast.
Danny Glover says his favorite line that he's known for, "I'm too old for this shit," which you don't get the reference to because you haven't seen Lethal Weapon. It's just so disappointing.
It's because they shoehorned them into they had made them read these lines that were written. Because here's the thing, the original Death at a Funeral is a classic British comedy of errors.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost Jane Austen style in modern day. And it's, you know, it works because they're a very proper British family that want to, you know, that want to keep everything quiet and, you know, and it's... So, spoiler alert, the big twist or one of the twists, the kind of prime twist in each of the movies is that the eldest son finds out that the father is gay, or was gay, and had been having an affair with Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
And Peter Dinklage is now blackmailing him.
Yeah.
With photos.
Yeah.
And in this, like, British, it's, you know, very proper British family, where it's very important to keep everyone's secrets under wrap and stuff, it's like, oh, how do we address this and maintain our dignity and whatever, and then it's proper comedy of errors where, like, everything is going wrong. There's, and, like, the funniest comes from, like, all the different little things that are chaotic elements that are happening at once. And then you definitely could have made a good American equivalent.
Yeah.
But instead they try to transplant this in here. And it's like, the one that always gets me is because they do American remakes of British properties is not an uncommon thing.
No.
You have, like, The Office and, you know, things like that. The one that always gets me, and I've never seen it because it didn't make the light of day, it did not get released to the public, it didn't make it past a pilot, was they did an American remake of Spaced.
Okay.
And Spaced, for those who don't know, Spaced is a sitcom, I guess, a British sitcom from the late 90s, starring Simon Pegg and...
Nick Frost.
Well, I was going to say Jessica Stevenson?
Yeah.
Jessica Hines? One of those is her married name, I think, and one of them is her...
Yeah.
...maiden name, but I don't remember which is which. Just Jessica Stevenson, I think it's what she goes by now. And it's... there are a couple of 20-somethings in London who are having a hard time finding a flat, and they decide that they're going to look for a flat together, but they find one that you have to be, that says on it, it's for professional couples.
Yeah.
So they pretend to be a couple, and it's, you know. But the whole thing works at the back of very British comedy and very specific pop culture references to the time, to the point that, like, season two starts with Simon Pegg's character burning all of his Star Wars memorabilia because The Phantom Menace just came out.
Yeah.
When they remade this for US audiences in the US, they remade it 15 years later.
Oh, God.
In the US, word for word. It makes no sense. How, like, what are you talking about? Like, none of the references are going to make sense. They're all going to be A, outdated, and B, partially not known at all to your American audiences. Yeah. It's very British comedy. It works on the back of, you know, the comedic timing of those actors and the way that their particular comedy works, because they also co-wrote it, or, you know, were showrunners. And just this concept, and I would love to see it. I would if someone has, like, a bootleg copy of this US Spaced pilot, I would love to watch it, but it would be, like, a real train wreck. And this is what this movie feels like to me, is that they have taken something that worked in the context it was in and tried to transplant it into a context where it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And there are moments, there are, like, glimpses in the 2010 US remake of Death at the Funeral where they let the characters do something that's very them.
Yeah.
And very, like, and a little bit more removed from the thing. And then they just go straight into, like, word for word line. And, like, Zoe Saldana is a decent actress. We've seen her in so many things at this point. You know, like,
she basically just prints money. You just put her in a franchise.
She is in, like, all of the top franchises.
Yeah.
She's in Star Trek. She's in Avatar. She's in, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers movies. You know, and she's, like, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So she is, like, she's doing well for herself. And she can act. It's not that she's getting it off nothing. In this movie, it just doesn't work. Because they have this character who in the original was this, like, proper British woman who was, like, you know, just very, like, almost depressed, I think. And then, and, like, just, like, living under her father, who's kind of shitty to her and doesn't approve of her fiance and stuff like that. And they just like take word for word some of her script and give it to Zoe Saldana as if it's going to make sense for her.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just give her new things to say. Give her new aspects to her character. Let her like do something that's not trying to mimic this British woman, you know? And it's just so weird. And it'll be, you, like I said, you get like these little moments where you're like, oh, okay, they're doing something different. It's starting to work. And then they just go back to like, let me robotically read off this British script.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's also the thing that I find, and this is possibly a stereotype, but you are right. The cultural difference is the biggest issue with this movie.
Mm.
Because you get, as you said, the, you know, when it's revealed that his dad was actually in a gay relationship with a dwarf, Peter Dinklage, Peter and Frank,
mm-hmm.
It's, oh my God, I can't let my mother find out about this because it's going to ruin her.
Yeah.
Where the other one, I don't know if this is a stereotype thing, but their reaction just comes off as homophobic.
Yeah, it does a little bit, but the other thing is it doesn't make any sense. Because like you said, in the original, they're like, oh, you know, this is going to really shock our mother and it's going to really upset her and we can't let her find this out. And also like, we can't let, you know, our family reputation
yeah.
be stained or whatever. And it's, you know, and it's also like a slow reveal because he's showing him pictures and it's just like ordinary pictures of them.
Yeah.
And the kind of like risky one is them dressed as like Roman centurions.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Whereas in the remake,
like Gladiator movies,
in the remake, there it's pictures of his father in drag going to the Dreamgirls premiere.
Yeah,
as I mean, so he's already out there in the, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. And then it's like, you know, when the mother finds out she's angry or whatever, but when like his brother finds out, he's like, oh yeah, I always kind of figured, and also, you know, and it's like, there wouldn't be the same level of like, oh, we must keep this quiet for our family's, you know, yeah. reputation and our whatever. There's not the same. There's a level of privacy or like just like not wanting to tell people things about yourself.
Yeah.
That you get quite a bit in British families, especially very proper.
Which is from the house. From where they are, it all very seems like they're very...
It feels like very old money.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know that they're not wealthy, because that's the whole thing, so they're actually in debt and all this stuff. But it definitely seems like a family that comes from very old money. So they have this, like, massive generational pressure to uphold the family name, is a thing in Britain. Because, I mean, a lot of those families have been around for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
For longer than the United States has existed. Whereas that's not there in the American one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the American culture is just not the same. This. It's like very selfish. And it shows really heavily in the brother. The younger brother is the selfish character, which is sort of like the old versus the new. Mm. Because everybody else is very proper. The older brother's got the, you know, the regular job and the regular haircut.
Yeah.
And not so much Martin Lawrence, because they didn't change how he looks. He just looks like Martin Lawrence always looks.
Yeah.
But yeah, the younger brother in the original is very like, I'm super hip, you know. I can't afford to help you out with this funeral because I spent all my money on first class tickets from New York to get here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm broke because my New York apartment and New York lifestyle is so extravagant.
Yeah.
And from Martin Lawrence's point of view, he's the same thing. He's like, it would have been better if he lived in London.
Yeah, what they didn't say was rather than have him flying internationally, and that's why the price was so much, was that he bought 2 first class tickets because he didn't want someone to sit next to him.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
And it's so bizarre. And they make the same joke, and it's just, it doesn't work the second time. Yeah. Maybe it's the fact that we watched these movies too close together.
I think that probably, if we had, some of the jokes probably would have landed better if we hadn't just seen them performed better in a different movie.
It feels like to me, when you do this...
It's copying someone's homework.
Yeah. It's like going out to your favorite restaurant, ordering your favorite meal, getting and being full, and then going to a restaurant that is the same cuisine and same style, and ordering their version of it and eating it again. You're like, I'm not hungry for this. Like, this is not what I want. That's what doing this feels like.
Yeah, I think, because I don't think it's a terrible movie.
No, I just think that they should have, if they're going to Americanize it, they should have gone full spangled, you know, red, white, and blue spangled banner kind of, like, Americanized.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, this could have been more like The Nutty Professor or something, you know what I mean? That kind of, it is definitely more slapstick, I think. The American version. There's more like physical comedy moments.
Yes.
I feel like there. I mean, I'm not saying there's none in the original because there definitely are, especially our boy Alan Tudyk, who is
the problem,
a master.
The problem is, I went to Juilliard.
There's just something about like Alan Tudyk has like a spark or something. Like he has like just some innate comic timing that just makes him fantastic at stuff like this. Like it was the perfect cast, even though he's like the only American playing a British person, and I had misremembered that in my head. I knew that one of either James Marsden or Alan Tudyk played a British person, but I thought it was that Alan Tudyk was an American in the British one and James Marsden played a British one in the American one. But it's not, it's just that Alan Tudyk plays a British guy. But he's just very good. He's just got something that a lot of other actors lack. I think James Marsden has it to an extent. My big hot take about James Marsden is that he was miscast in the X-Men movies because he does his best when he's just playing some silly guy.
Yeah.
And Scott Summers is too edgy.
He's literally the leader of the X-Men.
Yeah. Whereas like if you see James Marsden in Enchanted, you're like, this man makes perfect sense here.
Yeah.
You've seen Enchanted, right? I think we watched it together.
Yeah.
And he plays the prince from the fairy tale land who comes in and is just like singing and, you know, and is totally over the top.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Amy Adams' character has kind of adjusted to New York and he's like, oh, the birds, we must get married today. And he's perfect, spot on for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's bringing that same energy to this movie and it works. It's just not, I mean, that's the perfect example of, like, we've just seen our favorite do it.
Yeah.
You're copying. I still think he's better than most people in the movie.
Yeah, it's, going into the cinematography, the thing about the American remake that actually makes it worse for me,
mm-hmm.
like, the big thing, the big takeaway, is in the British version, they hold on scenes where it's, here is the scene, here's everything that's happening within this room, here it is, you know, here it's relevant to the plot, there's no overrun, there's no underrun,
mm-hmm.
it is perfect timing for when they cut to another scene.
Yeah.
The problem with the American one, it's the American film school version, which is, what's happening in this room isn't interesting enough, so we're going to cut to something else that's currently also happening that's more interesting, but then we're going to cut back, and then when you cut back again, it's going to be more interesting. And they do that in a way where James Marsden's character, spoilers as I said already, so he was given Valium after a near crash in their car on their way to pick up the younger brother of the daughter that's dad doesn't approve of having the boyfriend that isn't good enough for her. Yeah. God, it's complicated.
So she's the niece of the dead guy.
Yeah, yeah. And she gives him a Valium, but it's not actually a Valium because her brother is working in pharmaceuticals.
He's a pharmacology student, I believe.
So he's making drugs. He's making designer drugs, and it's like super acid.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up getting drugged with one pill, and then he's all off his face, and this is the whole, like, premise of how they end up killing Peter/Frank, because they give him too much Valium, but it's not Valium, it's super acid, and he ends up smashing his head on the table and falling over, while the uncle that needs to poo and he's in a wheelchair.
I think he's Uncle Alfie in the British one.
Yeah, Uncle Alfie in the British one.
And I don't remember his name either.
Why do I feel like it's Arthur, played by Morgan Freeman? Uncle Russell.
Uncle Russell, yeah.
So then you get the slapstick comedy with, I don't know the actor's name, and Tracy Morgan, who I actually loathe and can't stand.
Tracy Morgan is probably the worst part of the remake. Yeah. He's so bad. Every line delivery is bad.
Yeah.
Everything he does is bad. He, like, could they not have found a better actor? And also, but also the guy, I think they just ran out of black actors who were willing to be in the movie.
Tracy Morgan should have been playing the mortician, whatever.
And put Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart in there. Yeah,
yeah, swap them around. I was going to say the nephew, like the younger brother of the person engaged to, Zoe Saldana's younger brother in the remake. It was terrible as well. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
yeah. Nothing he said is believable. It seemed like he was like his lines are written on the ground and he had to look down and read them and just really bad delivery of pretty much all of his lines. And again, maybe that's not the actor's fault. Maybe they needed to just give him lines that would make sense for him to be saying that didn't sound like a British 20-something year old.
Yeah, it's it feels very, what's the nicest way of putting it? This is irrelevant to you. What have we found?
So, okay. I was going to, because you were talking about the directing styles, and I was going to say, well, you know, the original is directed by Frank Oz.
Yeah.
We love Frank Oz. Frank Oz fans around here.
Yeah.
Mainly
you, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 70% you, 30% me.
But I didn't want to say it until I had checked what the other guy had directed. Right?
Okay.
So, Neil LaBute.
This name sounds familiar.
The only movie before this that he had directed that I have heard of is one that we have previously covered on the podcast in another remakes episode, which is the 2006 version of The Wicker Man.
I was reading a Wikipedia article as you said it. Oh my god.
So this is brought to you by the same director as The Wicker Man. I'm so sorry to Neil LaBute. I don't want this to become a podcast where we just shit on your movies.
Yeah.
But man, make some better remakes. Yeah. Come on.
You have an opportunity to fix everything that's wrong with it, not just steal.
That's another one that was an American remake of a British thing. And like that, it was like they relocated the location and the context and then used a lot of very similar. Oh my God, it's Neil.
God, the original of Wicker Man is such a good movie.
Yeah, the original of Wicker Man is great. I don't know if I've seen any of the rest of the stuff this guy has done. But come on, my friend, just make better choices. Do some good movies. Maybe we need to watch some of his other movies to see if he ever managed to get anything good. The other thing that's a problem to me that stands out on this Wikipedia page, or sorry, IMDb page for the 2010 Desert Funeral, is that I believe what they have down as writer is just the guy who wrote the original. So that does that mean they just used the same script?
Possibly. There is a screenplay by Dean Craig, who's British.
Yeah, Dean Craig. If you look at the IMDb.
Death of a Few. Yeah, okay. So they just stole the same frick.
Literally look at it on IMDb, it's just, he's the only writing credit.
Yeah.
So maybe the reason that we get moments where it feels better is because they let the actors ad-lib.
Maybe.
Let them out of their cage for a second, instead of being like, read this fucking script.
It's the...
or else they just got Dean to adjust it, and maybe Dean doesn't know much about American, or didn't want to have to change his script very much.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it doesn't work, is my opinion.
I don't know what more I can say. The cuts annoy me. The camera angles annoy me. Just everything about the American version is just worse, just slightly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad. Like, I've seen bad movies. It's yeah, not a bad movie. That's what I'm saying. If you went into the movie and not seeing the original,
exactly. It'd be if you fine. Only see the American movie,
yeah.
It's a fine movie.
Yeah.
It's mediocre.
Yeah.
But, like, if you want a better movie, just watch the British
version.
One.
Yeah.
And
same with Wicker Man.
There's no reason to. Yeah, same with, honestly, same with Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, they just didn't change
enough
of it to make it into its own thing. And there's no reason.
They repotted a plant in a completely different soil and then wanted it to bloom.
Yeah, and so close to it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would understand it almost if it was, like...
10 years later, not three.
I was going to say 20, 30 years later. Yeah. But even then, you'd want to change the language to modernize it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to have this movie that worked as it was. That was, you know... it was a proper, like, comedy of errors... Directed by Frank Oz.
Yeah.
Some good actors in there. I mean, obviously, we love Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Matthew McFadden has become massively famous since then.
Yeah.
I think before this, the biggest thing he'd been in was he was Darcy in the 2005 Pride and Prejudice opposite Keira Knightley.
Right.
Which he's quite well known for. But I don't think he was very well known for anything outside of that. And that was, like I said, 2005. So he's probably casting this right after that.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, he's been in Succession. We just saw him in Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
Deadpool and Wolverine. He really blew up with Succession, I think. Became a very recognizable actor. And I think a lot of people now would know him. But at the time... Maybe only if you'd seen Pride and Prejudice or, like, a couple of, you know, British productions that didn't extend outside of Britain. But he's a good actor, and he plays this character very well.
Yeah.
And I'm not shitting on Chris Rock, but he needed a more Chris Rock character, you know? He's not, like, because Chris Rock is probably one of the better things in the remake,
yeah.
To be honest. But
it's very difficult because Chris Rock is very much, what's a nice way of putting it? He, obviously some stuff has happened to him. You know, recently. I say recently, at the Oscars.
That's a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He did get slapped in the face.
He's got a lot of physical presence.
Yeah.
And he is very energetic and very... He's not like... It's not like Jack Black energy where he's just like throwing kicks and stuff. But he's got an energy that allows... He should be a little bit more chaotic. And casting him as the proper brother...
Yeah.
...doesn't work.
Yeah.
Also,
I just remembered Luke Wilson was in this movie.
Yeah.
I just totally forgot about him. Anyway, sorry, you feel?
I feel that, like... It's... Without, like, completely stripping the whole thing...
Mm-hmm.
It feels like he was playing he's playing the older brother, and they were Irish twins.
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence feels older... He comes off as more old, more creepy, less faster.
But that's the same in the original.
Yeah.
The other brother seems like the older, creepier brother.
Yeah.
They are the same age, by the way. They were born in this. I think they're born 2 months apart in real life. But I do think Martin Lawrence is the older of the two. But they're literally the same year.
Yeah, he just feels physically older.
Yeah.
When you watch the movie, like he moves in a slower, more directive pace where I think Chris Rock in his movies. Like, I haven't seen... I think I've seen Bad Boys 1 and 2, maybe. Mm. I haven't seen 3 and I haven't seen the new one.
Yeah. I think Chris Rock would have been better cast as the fiancé. As, like, the character that James Marsden plays.
Interesting.
I feel like
he would have been able to do that. Him being naked and on drugs would have been, yeah.
I feel like he could have done that really well. And it would have been very funny. Oh, but I used to, like I said, I do think James Marsden does a good job.
It could also be the, like I said earlier, it could be the casting director being like, okay, we're going to get some, in this movie, someone's going to be on drugs. Let's not cast an African-American person to play that character because it is so stereotypical of, you know, maybe that was the motivation.
But the dealer is.
Yeah, I know now, yeah, but there has to be the brother, so.
Yeah, kind of... yeah, they're all family. Yeah, I do think it's weird that, like, they did something weird with the friend who's into the cousin as well, because, like, I feel like in the original, he's a fuck-up.
Yeah.
He feels like just, like, some idiot.
Because he plays Sick Boy. Well, he's played by the guy who plays Sick Boy, and that's the only thing I know him from is from Trainspotting.
Yeah, yeah. So he feels like he's supposed to be, like, this idiot.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you with this guy instead of me? And she's like, okay, shut up. Whereas in the remake, he's played by Luke Wilson, but he's supposed to be, like, super successful.
Yeah.
And her dad really loves him, and her dad is trying to get him, convince him that he can get her to break up with the other guy. And it's like, why did you need to do this? What was the point of that?
Yeah, the concept of like a drunken one night stand and a guy being obsessed with her years later and bringing that to a very inappropriate event is incredibly British.
Yeah.
Versus this concept of, like, they had a relationship, he's super successful, and she was just like, I don't want to spend my life with you, I want to, like, have a family and get married and stuff, where clearly that's not his character's, like, thing.
That works as a relationship dynamic, but then it's weird, because then if he is this, like, super successful guy, and they did have a relationship and it didn't work...
Why is he so hung up on it?
Yeah, is he trying to get with her at the funeral? And also, like, the moment, because in both there's a moment where the guy tries to kiss her.
Yeah.
And does it up against the window, and then they find out that, you know, the fiancé is naked on drugs on the roof and can see them.
Yeah.
But
in... total thing that normally happens.
In the original, that's what happens, I just described. The guy tries to kiss her, and then he sees him through the window. In the remake... Luke Wilson sees him outside and is like, yeah, he's out there naked on the roof. And she's like, oh my God. And then he tries to kiss her. And you're like, wait, what? How did you get from A to B here? Like, you're like, ha, your fiance is naked on the roof. I'm going to kiss you now.
Yeah,
like,
it's a very bizarre setup.
Yeah.
I did like, I don't know what Alan was doing in the bathroom. Because he comes out covered in, like, foam.
Yeah, I assume...
He was, like, brushing his entire face.
I was going to say my assumption is that they just put Alan Tudyk in there and let him run wild.
Yeah.
And then just cut it to only bits and pieces that they thought worked, like the toilet paper thing. But whereas then the James Marsden one is very much, like, do your best to copy Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. It's... The bit that is funnier is when... You just see him wrapping himself like a mummy in toilet paper. And it's like, that is funny. Because he's just laughing the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a really funny cut.
Yeah. And then also they do... What they do in this one... And I mentioned at the beginning that there's like this one bit that's different. Is... First of all, they don't climb up onto the full top of the roof of the building. Which they do in the original. But he sits on top of the window.
Yeah.
And then when she comes up and talks him down... He falls off it and then is like hanging like off the edge, and then her brother has to run in and like break down the door and grab him naked and pull him in through the window.
Yeah.
And that was very funny.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like, it was like, oh, finally something new to see in this movie that wasn't in the other version. And it is, you know, just James Marsden being a silly guy. And I do think they needed a better actor to play the brother, but it's still, that scene works, I think.
You want to get into some trivia? Because I think
I don't have a lot.
We've torn the 2010 one apart.
We've kind of talked about all the trivia pretty much, but there is the two bits of trivia that I haven't talked about for the original are, one, the corpse, the father, Edward, is played by their stunt coordinator, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
That, like, he coordinates stunts and then his job, they cast him as a person who just stays totally still.
Yeah.
And the other one is that Frank Oz, on the DVD commentary for this movie, admitted that in all the scenes, because you never see the picture that they that Peter Dinklage shows them that everyone reacts to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just had actual gay porn and didn't tell the actors.
Oh god.
So all of the, I don't know if they did the same for the remake. I couldn't find out, but in the original, all of the scenes where Peter Dinklage shows the picture, or like Matthew McFadyen shows the brother, you know, Rupert Graves the picture, and they like have that very visceral reaction to it. Yeah. It's because they're like expecting like a blank or like just like a regular photo, and then they actually just get shown gay porn.
It's you made a very good point. Peter Dinklage is everything about, yeah, I know, I've made the same point. I was just gonna say, like, his performance annoyed the shit out of me. It is not his fault. It's
direction.
No, it's not just direction. It's also the way the camera, the cinematography was the biggest issue.
Mm.
Because when he's like getting tied up and he's being force fed drugs, and before the drugs have kicked in, when everybody comes into the room, which is very slapstick and very British, where everyone piles into a room,
mm-hmm.
Monty Python made it very famous because that is one of their running gags of just people piling into a room unexpectedly. Yeah, yeah. The camera gets his eye line perfectly.
Yeah.
And his reaction is like, help me.
Yeah.
Like, you're on my side, like, help. And in the remake,
he's just lying on the ground.
Yeah, he's just like lying on his back, and you don't get the camera line to his eyes. You just see him through the gap of people.
Yeah.
The camera is at head height rather than elevated, which it is in the original, which like a down view into this like ruckus on the ground.
Yeah.
Just everything about it. And the poo thing really annoyed me because it was just Tracy Morgan being hypochondriac, and it was just, they just went like, oh, instead of just getting a little poo on his face, let's spray his entire, like, upper torso with, like, you know.
Yeah. No, you're all good. I just want
to... just wanted to get that out.
No, I just want to look up the cinematographer for the original because, obviously, great. Oliver Curtis. There you go. Because that's who you're a fan of. You're a fan of Oliver Curtis. Has he done anything else we've seen? Let's find out. Cinematographer...
Murray Gold did the music.
Yeah, Murray Gold did do the music. He did something called Muppet Guys Talking. I wonder if he just worked with Frank Oz a lot. A lot of short films. There's Death of the Funeral. The Wedding Date, which we haven't done, but I think is... Oh, no, it's not. It's not. I was thinking of Maid of Honor, I think, is on our list to do at some point. I don't think we've really seen anything else this guy has done cinematography for. Maybe you just need to watch some more of his films and see
if maybe.
We can watch The Wedding Date. I can put that on our list. That's a rom-com. You love rom-coms.
My mouth might be smiling,
but my eyes are screaming. I was wondering how long we would have silence on the podcast after I said that. Anyway. So, yeah, so those are the bits of trivia for the original. And for the remake, I've already said it. I was going to say the only bit of trivia I had was that Chris Rock and Martin Lawrence were actually born 2 months apart. Oh, no, Chris Rock is the older one. He was born in February and Martin Lawrence was born in April. So, within the same year. So, they are actually born in the same year and Chris Rock is actually the older of the two. They just extended it by 7 months, which makes sense.
Irish twins.
Yeah, Irish twins, which you didn't know about. You were like, how could they have been born in the same year? And I was like, it's called Irish twins. And you were like, is it 9 months apart? Yes. Yes, yeah. It is. Have you had a look at budget and box office with these?
No.
Okay, what are your guesses?
Let's see. I'm assuming, based on cast list alone, mm-hmm. the remake is going to cost way more money
mm-hmm.
and way make less in profit margin as in percentage.
Mm.
So, say it costs $100, it's going to cost more than, well, I'm going to say $100 million for cost. Am I too high?
You're way too high.
Oh, okay. $50 million for cost, and it's going to make like $120, where the other one was going to cost like $2 million and made like $100.
Okay, I mean, you're on right tracks to some extent, because they did make a very similar amount of money. The original made 46.8 million in box office, and the remake made 49 million in box office. But budget-wise, the original was cost $9 million, and the remake cost $21
million. Yeah.
So the remake, it still made double its you know, its cost, but just basically double its cost, whereas the original made almost five times its cost. But they did make, they did earn about the same in box office. It's just that one of them cost more to make, so like you said, less of a profit margin.
Percentage-wise.
Yeah, but it does mean that both were relatively successful films and people obviously did enjoy them at the time.
Because it would have been a very small percentage of people
who had seen the original.
Yeah,
it's different audiences.
Yeah.
Which is why they make these American remakes, you know, to get different audiences. And
can I ask a question that I don't want to know the answer to?
Okay.
Is Wreck and Quarantine on our list?
I believe it is.
Oh, God. Wreck is just one of my favorite horror movies of all time. And I saw the trailer for Quarantine and was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
This just looks worse.
Yeah. There's a few like that where it'll be... but I mean, to some extent, those make more sense to me.
Yeah.
In that they haven't been released to an English-speaking audience outside of people who are happy to read subtitles and watch you know, foreign films. Whereas
in New Zealand, most films are foreign.
Exactly. this what I'm saying. That's why. Sorry, I did do air quotes for foreign films. I've hoped that my inflection gave that across.
Yeah.
But like,
not in your native language.
The concept of remaking a British film for American audiences is very strange to me, and maybe with something like The Wicker Man, you know, it's
enough time.
30 something years later, wasn't it? I'm thinking it's 50 years ago now, but it's not. The other one was 20 years ago. That's terrifying. Yeah, so like 30 years later or whatever, and putting it in a different context, which they did do better, I think, for Wicker Man than they did for Death of the Funeral.
Yeah.
Though they did, I mean, give them some credit. Like, they did make it about, you know, an African-American family, and, you know, there is a different context to it, but they just didn't change enough of the dialogue for it to feel like
American.
To feel like that context made a difference. You know? You can't just transplant things exactly as they are into a different context. It doesn't work.
Talking of different contexts,
mm-hmm.
if you've enjoyed this podcast or previous episodes, please share them with friends. It really helps mm-hmm. us get visibility because eventually, being the hot new thing that gets recommended, because that's what happens, will eventually wear out and we won't get as many interactions as we can.
I don't think we've been the hot new thing for a while. if ever.
Fair. If you want to find out more about us or follow us on social media, we're available on... There's a Discord, which will be in the show notes, and our website, ittakes2.co.nz. Not sponsored, but made by Squarespace.
Squarespace.
We can find every other platform that we're available on, including YouTube, which we do have shorts on there. Thank you for joining us on this remakes episode.
And also, I now create mailing list emails professionally as part of my actual job, which means maybe our mailing list will get more attention.
Maybe.
So if you want to sign up for a mailing list, I will be getting better at it as I'm doing it for real work now, too. All right. Catch you next time.
Bye.